Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Maternity Live. I hope everybody is doing well. I'm doing better, I think, than I have been doing. And maybe you can like sense that in my voice. I just feel like a little pep in my step, even though I'm not like stepping anywhere. But, you know, we're on week four. So at this point, we're just like, I guess, adjusting better. At least I'm adjusting better. But I'm definitely having a better week. I've been feeling a lot better. And I was kind of having a rough go of it last week. And I figured, how much do I share? How much do I not share? And I promised you all that I would share, so I'm going to share. But last week was an interesting week for me, and I was super excited to have Dr. Sterling on the podcast just to like calm me down and hopefully calm like all of us down just around everything going on, because I feel like, you know, coronavirus is almost like pregnancy. It's just like all the information that you could possibly get like panics you. And I cannot live in a state of panic. I do not want to live in a state of panic. So last week was a tough week. I did the gestational diabetes test, which for you pregnant ladies, you know that that drink you make, they make you drink, is fucking disgusting. And it was torture. And then I failed the 1 hour test. And I did a lot of research, and a lot of people fail the 1 hour test. And the thing about gestational diabetes is you have no symptoms. So it's something, it's like, it's a silent thing that you have to manage and control. And you don't know that you have it unless you drink this disgusting drink and keep it moving. And so I found out I failed. Well, first I drank the drink. Then I found out I failed. Then the next day I went back, and what that you have to do is you drink the drink on a fasted belly, which fasted belly and pregnant, my God, like those two things do not go together. And essentially, you get your blood drawn every hour for 3 hours, and then they measure your, I guess, your sugar levels in your blood. And by the end of last week, I found out that I had passed the 3 hour. So I was feeling super great about that. And I just feel like it kind of cleared up my whole mindset, because I had been a worry wart all week of just like all the things that I wasn't feeling good about, including this, and just not feeling well in general. And I just feel like it was really good for me to get some good news on the health front, because I've just been feeling a lot better. And feeling a lot better, I just can't even tell you like how much better you feel when you feel good. And so I feel like it has now propelled me to like do even more good for my own body, for my mental health, for movement, for whatever it is. And I feel like I can see that even in myself. Just, I have like a whole new lease on life. I'm just done feeling anxious. I'm done feeling down. Like, if we have to be at home, let's be at home and let's make the best from home. So that's exactly what I'm doing with my podcast this week. This week, I'm thrilled to have somebody who has had such a profound impact on my life come on the podcast. And she is just like inspiration in a bottle. Like, I can't even explain you guys to her other than to just like let her talk and do her thing. But my guest this week is Shelly Zalis. She's the founder and CEO of The Female Quotient. And for people who have been following me for an extended period of time, you will probably be familiar with Shelly and maybe some of the things that her and her team do. Her business is formerly known as The Girls Lounge. And essentially what they do is they create experiences for women and for men, but mostly for women, at every single conference, every single big event on the planet, everything from South by Southwest to CES. It's a lot of like industry events, but Shelly has a background in research. She had a research company that she sold. She obviously went to all these conferences, all these events, and there's just like not great places for women. And so she started this amazing organization that's not only about female empowerment, but also women's entrepreneurship. She's been a crusader in trying to close the pay gap and just advancing women in the corporate world in general. And I feel so honored to not only have been involved with her organization, but also having started out as an entry-level person in the working world and like having the guidance of Shelly and of all these women who really partake in everything that she's doing. And it's about mentorship, it's about leadership, it's about just friendship. And I think one of the things that I love about what Shelly has instilled in her business is just like being really okay with like being feminine and being a woman and being like a girl in the workplace. Like, you can want to get a blowout, you can want to have your nails done, like you can want to dress chic as hell, and you can want to just walk right up and like feel really fucking good and really fucking confident and not have to feel like you have to be a man. And I just love everything about her. Just as a person, she's just wonderful. I can't even like say enough good things about her, but also I'm thrilled that she's coming on the podcast to just share all of her advice, all of her expertise with all of you. So I'm just going to quickly jump into the big three so that we can get to Shelly, not to rush this podcast by any means, because that's not my goal here. My goal is just that I'm fucking excited. So like, I don't want to keep you from the excitement that is exciting. So anyways, big topic number one that I want to touch upon, because it is timely as hell, are just holidays in general. And this week is obviously Passover. It's also Good Friday. Easter Sunday is coming up. And you know what? I just feel like the world is in a crazy place right now. And holidays are just things that bring people together. I love holidays in general. I'm like a huge holidays person. And I love them for so many reasons. I love the family aspect of it. I love the traditions. And if you just think about it, like these things have been celebrated and memorialized for like hundreds, sometimes thousands, you know, of years. And so while we're kind of living in this chaotic state right now, I feel like we're kind of being blessed with a period of holiday and we should take advantage of it. Like, yes, you might not be able to spend your holidays the way that you wanted to with a bunch of people that you wanted to. You might not be able to go to a church or to a synagogue or whatever it is. But I feel like the whole nature of trying to keep some semblance of normalcy during this. So basically, you know, keeping your traditions, you know, getting dressed, feeling good, joining a virtual Seder or a virtual sermon, doing, I don't know, like a digital Easter egg hunt. I just feel like there's so many ways to just like continue traditions in a way that is different this year, but I think will help like bring some like peace, serenity, and wonderfulness to this like crazy, chaotic, and insane time. And maybe that's just me, because I really do love the holidays and I would literally celebrate holidays by myself. And I think if you are celebrating holidays by yourself, like go you, and just know that I'm here for you and I'm thinking about you, because the reality is like, this is a crazy time for everybody, but just celebrate even in your own little way. I think it's like a really good way to just keep the world moving. And I've been seeing people do that, celebrating birthday parties. We just did a big Zoom last Friday for Ben's birthday, which was so much fun. And Zach's friends are like always doing Zoom, and they do trivia on Zoom, and everybody's getting drunk on Zoom. And it's like, this is like a perfect time to like call your family, your extended family, celebrate little things, and just try to keep the normalcy in this crazy time. I mean, it's not normal. I know it's not normal, but silver lining, you know, celebrations. Like, who doesn't love celebrating things? So happy holidays to everybody. And I hope that you celebrate in the way that just brings some comfort to your life, because I think we all really need that right now. So number two also goes to the theme of things that are going on right now, because those are the things that are just weighing heaviest on my mind. And those are the things that I want to share with all of you. But I have been getting a lot of calls from girls that I've worked with in the past, some of the younger up-and-coming stars, actual rock stars, and they've been getting laid off and furloughed from their jobs. And I have been giving a lot of people just the advice that I think is best, and I tell them that. I'm like, this is just my opinion. But I wanted to share it with all of you, because I know that's like, it's a trying time, and a lot of people are getting laid off, a lot of people are furloughed, and a lot of people are just like feeling down about everything that's going on. And then on top of that, you know, having to deal with those issues on the job front. And so I just want to give a few tips of things that I've shared with people, and hopefully it can be helpful to you. And if it's not, maybe pass it on to a friend and it might be helpful to them. But I feel like this time has allowed people to be really self-reflective. And in my opinion, there is no better time to network and cold call and reach out to, you know, women or men or people you've worked with in the past, people you admire, than right now. And I think people are really open and receptive to it. Like, this would be a great time, you know, even if you have a job and maybe you're thinking about making a career move in the next, you know, few months or so, but sit down and think about the companies that you like, that you would want to work for, and also the types of leaders that you want to work for, and get on LinkedIn. Try to find ways to connect with people that you might think would never respond to you, but I guarantee you during this time, they are really open and receptive to wanting to help. And reach out to people friends, families, colleagues, former colleagues, and also just ask them if they're hiring, ask them for advice, ask them to connect you to people. Because right now, like what we can really mostly all focus on is relationships. And that also gets back to the holiday piece. It's just like, it's all about relationships right now. And all we have in these quarantine times is our mouths and our phones and our computers, and make connections. If you are struggling right now on the work front, I just want you to know that I am thinking about you. And the best piece of advice that I can give you is this is the best time to put yourself out there. Don't sulk in your house and think that, you know, because we're in this crazy pandemic that people aren't hiring, because one day the world will go back to normal and all of those people that you reached out to, something will come to fruition. And that is the biggest piece of advice that I'm giving everybody that's calling me. And everybody that calls me, I take their call and I tell them, I'm like, if there's somebody that I'm connected to that I can connect you to, let me know. And I guarantee you, I'm one of hundreds, if not thousands of people who would do that on your behalf too. And everybody wants to be helpful during this time. So really just take the time to think about yourself, make a list of the people you want to connect with that you want to get introduced to, find people in contact with them, and put yourself out there. I mean, everybody's hiding behind a screen right now, so just take advantage of it. Topic number three, you guys, is completely unrelated to everything else I've just spoken about, because I just wanted to put something fun out there. And also, well, I guess it is kind of related, because everything is related in times of quarantine in terms of what is at the forefront of my mind. But I want to just talk about hair. Can we talk about hair? Because one thing I'm looking forward to when this is all over is, like, I feel like my hair is going to be amazing. And here's what I mean by that. I have spent like well over 20 days, like not putting a hot tool to my hair. And I can honestly tell you that every time I shower and every time I take a bath, like sometimes I shampoo, sometimes I conditioner, sometimes I leave stuff in, sometimes I don't wash everything. I don't even know what's going on in my hair right now, but I just feel like I'm at least being healthy towards my hair and I feel like it's growing. And the other night I literally just like took a little scissor and just kind of like trimmed some of the dead ends. I've been like also really dying to cut my husband's hair too, because it's getting super long. And like, I think that I'm a hair care professional when I'm absolutely not. But I just feel like silver lining in all of this is like, our hair is going to be great. And so like, yes, I'm not always getting on video camera on any conference call that I'm on anytime, but I'm just like letting my hair be. And I feel like I haven't let my hair be in like for fucking ever. And it's been actually really wonderful. I just like let it be curly. And you know, I've had a lot of issues with my hair and I've struggled with it and I've been open about it. And I think my sister Claudia would be like dying if she knew that I was telling you guys all of this. But I basically like went completely bald in the back of my head a few years back, just from like extensions and hair tools and just like not being good to my hair. And I continued to wear extensions like where I needed to in terms of like going to events or going out or whatnot. But, you know, I have been trying to just do less with my hair and just like maybe like blowing it out once in the beginning of the week and then just like trying to go as many days as I could without like touching it so much and, you know, not washing it as much and, you know, experimenting with all different types of shampoos. And you know, I got it back to like a healthier place. Obviously last year I did decide to like make a big chop after my wedding and it definitely helped. So I'm the prenatals help, everything helps, but I just feel like we're not doing as much damage to our hair because like, we're not really like going out and leaving the house and getting all dolled up. And so like I've been seeing like so many people online who are like oil training their hair, which is basically like where you try to like go as long as you can with your hair being oily. So like your hair stops getting oily if you go long times without washing it. And I should do more masks and leave-in conditioner treatments and the whole, like, this is just such a great time for hair. And I feel like we should celebrate hair and we should be good to our hair and we should be excited about the fact that after all of this is done, we're going to have great hair. And honestly, I'm looking forward to it. I just like every time like I wash my hair, I just feel like, ooh, it feels a little thicker. Ooh, it's definitely getting longer. And I want to try to experiment with some things that like maybe even help me do that more. I feel like I'm definitely not there with my skincare routine whatsoever. As you guys know, I'm like, I don't really have a skincare routine. I need to get on it. But hair, I just feel like is something I've always been self-conscious about. And I'm like deep on hair. You know, like the first thing I ever learned how to do before like even putting on eyeliner was like learn how to use a hair iron. And so hair care, baby. I am team hair and I am going to even be better to my hair. But also I just feel like because I'm in a chipper mood, like I just want us to be excited about things and I'm excited about my hair. So get excited about it too. And that's the big three, guys. I just can't even, like, I'm just so excited about today's guest, who's somebody that, as I mentioned, has just been a crazy big part of my life, is a wonderful human being, has so much great advice, and is also doing just so much for women in general. And I feel like that's exactly the type of energy that I wanted to bring on the podcast. So without further ado, let me introduce to you all Shelly Zales, founder and CEO of The Female Quotient. And she also happens to be joined by Talia Bender. Talia is Shelly's right hand. She's the president of her company. Talia and I went to college together. I was at her wedding. I love her to pieces. I can't think of two better people to be the face of just like empowering women, both in the corporate world and entrepreneurial women. And so without further ado, welcome Shelly and Talia.
Shelly Zales. Honestly, you're one woman wonder, Shelly, because you are the most fantastic, amazing human being I've ever met. And I feel so blessed that you have been in my life for so long. And I feel like it's my responsibility to like share you with my audience and with my followers, because not only the work that you do that is so important, but also just all of the guidance and advice that you have for women and for men, but specifically for women. So I just want to give a little brief background on how I came to learn about everything that you're doing. And it's a fantastic story because I went to college with your son, Alex, and 1 year at Cannes, at the Cannes Lions Festival, everyone was talking about this woman, Shelly Zales, and everything you were doing with the Girls Lounge. And I signed into my Facebook and I saw that my friend Alex posted a photo, "My mom is so dope," and it is said woman, Shelly Zales, with Kanye West. And that is how I came to learn that we were already in the same circle, but we didn't even know each other. And so I wound up meeting you probably a month or two later at Advertising Week. And everything that you were doing was really just around advancing women in the corporate world and creating amazing places for women at these male-dominated conferences to just come together and hang out. I think that's what I love most about everything that you started out doing, is that it was just a fun community to just like hang and be a girl and like love being a girl and like love just like chatting with your friends. And then it has evolved into everything that it's become, which I'll obviously let you get into. But Shelly, welcome to Maternity Live. I'm so freaking honored to have you here.
Oh my God. Well, first of all, thank you for that incredible introduction. And you used some words that I just want to play off of, which is evolve and also maternity, because the crazy thing, there is no such thing as coincidence. Things are always meant to be. And I just want to boast about you for a minute, because, you know, as women, we never brag about ourselves enough. And there is no reason why, if we're proud of ourselves or proud of someone else, we can't say, "You go, girl. I'm so proud of you." So I have to say back at you, Liv, I'm, you know, so blown away by you. I met you, loved you at Hello, and watching you evolve and grow and stretch, get uncomfortable to get comfortable, and how you've just, you know, continue to blossom into this beautiful individual with so much confidence and an ability to bring people together. And so I thank my son Alex for, you know, calling his mom dope. But I met two of the most important women in my life professionally through my son. One was you, and one was Talia, who's also on the phone, who is the president of my company and started working at the FQ as an intern. My son Alex called me one day, we were in Russia, and he said, "Mom, I have a friend from school that would like an internship." So I said, "Of course, you know, let her join us." And that was, I think, 9 years ago. So watching both of you grow and evolve has been, you know, as a proud mom, a really proud moment for me. So I just want you to know I'm so proud of both of you.
Well, I'm so glad that you introduced Talia too, because Talia is such a core piece to this. And I think what women need to realize, and especially when you're starting out, which is really hard, is like in 20 years, like who are going to be the women that I like rose the ranks with that I know I can count on? And I think about it a lot. I mean, Talia is somebody that's the top of my list for me, because Talia also went to college with Alex and I. And that's really also a huge part of how the Girls Lounge, which is now the female quotient, really got started. It's these women that you worked with in the industry for 10, 20 years who were the first people who came to your first lounges and really created that network effect. And I think sometimes people are afraid in the workplace to really like have deep relationships with people, and they don't think about it long term. They think about it as like the now, right? I'm working with this person on this project or for this year at this job. And they don't realize that in 20 years from now, that person could be a huge part of their life. That person could still be their coworker. That person could be their freaking boss.
Yeah. But I think that's the most important thing. You know, we always say a woman alone has power. Collectively, we have impact. And what people don't understand is people work with people they like and they trust. They don't work with a company. That's a corporation. It's about the people in that corporation. And if you can create this community, or what we call the FQ pack, that's where business gets done. I mean, more business is done in our lounges than at the conference itself, because it's where you hang out. No one wears badges. I don't want anyone to talk to you because you work for this company or you have this title. I want everyone to just know each other and spend time with each other. And then you discover, oh, you're the chief marketing officer of, you know, Verizon, or, oh, you're the chief marketing officer of Procter & Gamble. What a great benefit that is. But you got to know someone on a personal level. And that's why we talk a lot about, you know, create relationships. Relationships last forever. Deals are a handshake and a business card exchange. But at the end of the day, that's meaningless. You don't remember who you got a business card from or what you talked about, but you certainly are going to remember that amazing conversation with Live in the Lounge. Well, that's a good
Live in the Lounge
was really good. And you know, when you look at the Boys Club, and that's where the Girls Lounge really started, you know, the opposite of boy is girl, the opposite of club is lounge. If there's going to be a Boys Club, let's have a Girls Lounge where women can bring their best selves, their authentic selves to the table, and not just try to act like the guys. I mean, we do everything differently, and difference is our greatest strength. It's not a weakness, and we've been hiding that. And so, you know, when women originally said, oh my God, but we're not girls, I said, have you ever heard of a man object to being a boy in the Boys Club? Never. And so, you know, let's create this community. And of course, you know, that's really how it all started. And since then, we've connected 50,000 women supporting one another globally, and now evolving to a quality lounge. Once we found our strength and we're able to have the confidence to be who we are, truly, now we can bring leadership. I don't care if you're male or female. It's about leadership activating solutions for change to advance women and advance equality.
So I want to talk about this for a second, because I was fortunate to meet you probably 8 years ago, and I loved everything that you were doing. And at the time, in the position that I was in at my company, I was able to foster a relationship between our two businesses so that AOL at the time could be a huge part of what was then the Girls Lounge, what is now the Female Quotient. And I remember distinctly so many women were just always like rolling their eyes at the notion of the Girls Lounge, or that it was pink, or that you got your hair done and that you got your nails done. And unless they experienced it themselves and really understood that like leaning into your femininity in the workplace is like not something to be ashamed about, like, why do you think women go into the workplace and like try to be a man?
You know, I think that I want to say one thing about what you just talked about, the first Live, because what you talked about was your support with the Girls Lounge. I think you have so many amazing strengths, but one of them is A, persistence. The other is passion. The third is bravery. The fourth is connectivity. You connected us to all the right people within your organization, wherever you were. And the fifth was the power of relationship. And so I just want to say, you know, all of those things put together is really what it takes to be a change agent. And so getting back to, you know, women and bringing femininity forward, we wanted to create a space that was unapologetically feminine. You know, not hiding anything. I actually went out of our way to bring it front and center. But historically, you know, most CEO jobs are men. And that is the steps that we were following. That was the roadmap. Those were the mentors. And so, and there's such a few, there's so few women at the top and such a scarcity of jobs, women have historically been very competitive. And so, you know, operating the way of legacy is sort of how most people behaved. And we didn't do hair and makeup because we were a salon. It's just, this is, who doesn't want to have, you know, their hair and makeup done? It's not what you look like on the outside. And it's why we coined the phrase, confidence is beautiful. It's how you feel on the inside. And we do get our hair done. And we do like to wear makeup. And we do want to be on stage or on video, you know, feeling our best. And so we just went for it. And, you know, women just started at the beginning, they were like, oh no, we can't do something like this. And then at the end, they're like, oh my God, this is the best thing in the whole world. And they started literally letting their hair down and being who they are and sitting and getting their hair done while they were doing business deals. And, you know, the first girls lounge started at CES by accident. And, you know, we all walk the floor together, which is a whole other story. But we hosted our lounge in my hotel room, which was, you know, a regular room with a queen size bed. And all this business was done in the closet. It was a walk-in closet, and women were showing each other their technology, and they were all badass business women. All of a sudden saying, well, this is a pretty cool way to do business. We could get our nails done and do a deal. And we can, you know, we were multitasking on steroids. And once women just stopped putting their guard up and their defense mechanism, and my favorite expression, Sarah Jessica Parker in one of her films was, you know, her film, I think it was called, I Don't Know How She Does It, trying to be a man is a waste of a woman. And it was such an important quote that I heard because I embraced that and I internalized that. I don't need to be a man to be successful. I can be a woman bringing my soft powers to the table and not apologizing for them, but owning up to them and standing in that power was really quite remarkable. And now it's kind of the new way of doing business. And all of these women kind of run the show with femininity, not with because they're female, but because they're bringing their soft powers to the table. And there's plenty of men with the same soft powers, nurturing, empathy, collaboration, visualization, contextualization. Those are all powers that, in my opinion, are the greatest strengths of leaders today, but they're the ones that have been the most not talked about for some reason.
And that's also probably why you really pivoted the brand to be more about this female quotient. Like, what is the female quotient mean to you? And like, when you call the company that and you call all of your lounges and experiences that, like, what do you hope people get from the term female quotient? How do you want them to like live their life knowing that like having that FQ is super powerful?
Yeah, it is exactly that. It's what's the FQ? Do you have FQ? And the name came from, you know, first came IQ, the intelligence quotient. Then came EQ, the emotional quotient. Now comes FQ, the female quotient. When you add more women to any equation, there's a return on equality. And so it is an equation. We need to flip the balance. We need to flip the script. We have to turn words that have historically been very negative into words that are positive. So if I say, you know, and Catalyst has done an amazing job with a campaign called Buy Is Correct, women are told, you're too emotional. I'm not too emotional. I'm passionate. You're too aggressive. I'm not aggressive. I'm assertive. I have an opinion. I have a voice that matters. You know, how do we really reframe something that has historically been unchallenged as the strengths that are, you know, necessary for leadership today? And so when you look at the balance, you know, why do we need to flip the balance? Not because we want to just have a seat at the table to fill a quota, but we want a seat at the table because we make the table better. We are better for innovation and for creativity and for culture and for financial growth and bottom line performance. All of these reasons that we all know, we all say that diversity is good for business, but we have the facts. Now we just have to create the new, we have to rewrite the rules so that everyone we can attract and retain the best talent and not just the available talent. So the female quotient really came from an equation. You know, I'm a researcher of, you know, over 35 years, a really long time. And it is about an equation. You can't change the equation if you don't put, you know, different factors into it and create this balance that is good all around, in particular for ideation and, you know, innovation at the table.
So you touched upon something that I'm so glad you did, because I wanted to get into it, which is your background in research. And obviously you had a research company that you sold, and then you joined a larger corporation, which is kind of how you started the Girls Lounge and then spun off and now are doing it all on your own with your incredible team. And so you have this amazing trajectory of having been a female entrepreneur and then also a woman in the corporate world. And so can you just take us through that journey? Like, what did you learn at each phase? I could imagine that you, and just knowing you, are so much better suited for being a female entrepreneur. And I know you advise a lot of entrepreneurs, but most of the advice that you would get, that you give in general, and that your lounges are really around, is helping women in the corporate world. So like, how do you identify as being both of those things and having one human body?
Yeah. I mean, first of all, I was the only female CEO top 25 my entire career. And I knew I thought differently than, you know, my peers, which were, you know, all men. And I also had different challenges than they did. I was the primary caregiver, which is typically, caregiving is still predominantly a female responsibility, and leadership CEOs are still predominantly male. But I brought a few things to the table that I was really never going to change. And that was based on responsibility for being whole. You know, I always say there's no such thing as work-life balance. You have one life with many dimensions. You have your work, you have your family, you have your community, your friends, and the fifth that we always forget about or put, you know, as secondary is ourselves. You know, we always are so busy helping everyone else, we tend to neglect ourselves in the equation. And so by default, I had to build a company, which was called OTX, that I called it, you know, the uncorporate rules. I just made up my own rules that would be good for me, but I didn't want to be the exception to the rule. I wanted to become the new norm. And so I created a lifestyle company or a life stage company that I didn't even realize how important that would be. I had 250 employees, and we shared the good, bad, and the ugly so that everyone could thrive and bring their best selves to the table. And, you know, the company was really based on purpose, passion, and people. I mean, not complicated. I cared. And, you know, every Christmas, I would call every single one of my employees to check in with them. And that was really important to me. And that's why when I started the Female Quotient, I wanted to bring forward these soft skills. They weren't from a textbook. A textbook tells you how to run a company. And I created the uncorporate rules. I undid those and created the new rules. You know, if you have all this junk in the trunk, you can't put new stuff in there. So I got rid of all the junk in the trunk and just wrote them as we were going.
So that's something that I want to ask you about, because obviously times are a little bit different right now and leadership is becoming more and more apparent. So either people are really impressed with someone's leadership, or like a celebrity, a business leader, an influencer, or they're become really disenchanted with how they've handled the situation, just given that a lot of people have been laid off, a lot of people have been furloughed. So what advice are you giving to people in the working world and to small business owners in general in terms of how to handle everything during this time?
Yeah. So first of all, there's small business advice that I can give. And then there's just in general corporate advice for small business owners. You know, one of the things, and, you know, I am very happy to help any small business owner that just needs some quick advice. But I really believe in pivoting with positivity and proactivity is the first thing. And I have to say, and we'll bring Talia in on the conversation. And when we bring Talia in, I always say leadership is not about age, it's about action. And so while Talia is 26 years old, I'm blown away by her in terms of her abilities and you know, agility and flexibility to just move our company forward. So we have pivoted to virtual, you know, overnight, which was quite remarkable. But for small business owners, the first thing I have to say is stay positive, you know, because when you go into the negative and the why not, and I, you know, I can't do this and I can't do that, it's really hard to recover from the negative or from the defense strategy. Don't look at what's not, look at what is. And so I think that's the first piece of advice. The second is do all of the small business owner things you should do. All of your employees are in this together. We did salary reductions across the board because cash flow is very important when we don't, when there's an unknown. If I knew this was 2 weeks, I could plan for it. But because we don't know how long this will go, cash flow is very important. So salary reduction. And I have to say, with my 26 employees, I was blown away by the responses that I got from some people saying you could take all of our salary if you need it. We're all in this together. And I think that that is the most important, is, you know, the care that you give to your employees is the care that comes back from your team. So that's number one. Number two, apply for all the small business loans. There's the secured and the unsecured one. So we can talk a lot about that on another session if anyone needs a cheat sheet, you know, the quick facts and tips of where to go. The other is don't pay the bills that are, that can wait. You know, I always believe in paying our bills very quickly, especially to small business owners first, because they're the, we're the ones that need it the most. So really prioritize what you are spending your money on. I think that that is really important as well. And allow the flexibility with your team. You know, if you're a sole proprietor, that's very different than like me. I'm a small business owner with 26 people. We do Zoom calls all the time, twice a week, just to stay connected so that everyone can feel positive and hearing what's going on. And then I do a call twice a week with different people on the team working on specific projects. And then of course, for all of our partners to keep everyone engaged, we've been hosting virtual conversations. So it's staying visible, it's staying relevant, it's staying positive, and it's staying proactive, and making sure that you are doing everything you can to protect your cash flow as much as you possibly can. So that's advice for small business owners.
Amazing. So can I pivot over to Talia super quickly? Because T-Bone, as I lovingly call you, I have two big questions for you. One of which is, you have been involved in so many lounges and heard so many conversations and have really been exposed to some of the biggest and brightest, both female and male, but mostly female minds, like basically in the corporate world across all industries. And so what do you find is the thing that people want to hear the most, especially now as you're pivoting to virtual conversations? Like, what is the conversation that you could have 7 million more times and it will never be enough because it's so important for people to always hear?
Thank you for having us, and just so proud of everything you've done. You know, what Shelley was saying around keeping our team connected and just keeping the conversation going. And what's been amazing during all this, and one of our dear friends, Erica Keswin, said this because she has a book called Bring Your Human to Work. And we've been doing some conversations with her around how to bring your human to work when we can't actually go to work, is the power of human connection. And, you know, for us, we've gotten really great feedback around holding these virtual conversations. And it doesn't really matter that we're not in person together. It's still keeping our community and these amazing leaders together. So I think it's even beyond the topics, and of course we've been having amazing topics, it's about actually bringing together the amazing people in our community to still have these conversations, still showcase that we have these people that we can keep together. And I think that's the most important piece to this, especially through all this, is keeping the connection forward.
So in thinking about connection, which obviously you, and I feel like I'm just going to throw myself in the mix too, me too, have been super fortunate to like have somebody like Shelley as a mentor, and pretty much all the women and what you guys have fostered in your experiences is for everybody to really kind of like mentor and support each other. But like, how important is mentorship, and how do you actively seek out a mentor? Because I feel like some people feel, I don't want to say ashamed because that's like the wrong word, but it's like they're nervous to ask somebody who can really make an impact in their life if they would be willing to take the time to like help them move forward. And I know you guys see so much mentorship in the lounges in general. It's like, what are some pieces of advice you have for people just around mentorship? Because I feel like now is a really good time for people to actually like make those connections and network while they're, you know, maybe have a little bit of extra time at home and are looking to find ways to just better themselves and better their careers in general.
Yeah, I mean, Shelly has been an amazing role model for this. And she talks a lot about mentorship is not just top down, it's all around. So, and one easy thing to do is reach out to people and not make it necessarily about what they can do for you, but what you can do for them, and build an organic relationship that way. I also think you can get a lot of mentorship, or we say, you know, like mentorship bites or quick hacks from people. You don't need a formal mentor where you meet with them once a month, but rather have a close group of women that you admire, that you, you know, can be in touch with, where you can ask them questions and make it known that you also are there for them to ask them questions back to you. So I think it's more about just building those strong relationships across the board and reaching out to the women who are being generous with their time. I mean, I know Shelly, I think I could speak for you in this and saying, like, someone like Shelly, she loves getting asked questions and asked for advice. It keeps her going too. So I think you'll be surprised by how many women are willing to really give their advice. And one thing we're going to be launching in a few weeks in celebration of small business owners is a series of conversations with a mix of female business owners, coaches, VCs, experts, executives, because everyone, right, especially right now, is just more willing to help, and people are seeking that connection more than ever.
100%. I totally agree. And I think also, like, what I realized is that knowing that I personally have something like the female quotient in my life, like, I don't actually even actively seek out as much mentorship and networking skills anymore, because it's just kind of built in. I feel like finding your community is really hard, but I think that's something that you guys naturally do. But, and you're doing it on college campuses, you're doing it at corporations, at companies, you're doing it for small business owners. And do you guys, like, you know, what do you think are the different things between what a college student is looking for and then someone like at a VP level who's looking to make it into the C-suite?
I think entry level. And so, you know, one of the things with the female quotient is obviously putting women in every equation from entry through board. So at entry level, I think it's really coming in with that confidence, but also with and that's why we love the mentorship in the moment, pairing and sharing, mentor mentee, but it's a matter of who is the mentor and who is the mentee at any given time. That could flip and reverse, because we all learn from each other. Entry level is really that confidence coming into the workplace, making sure you're using your voice and bringing your value and not being afraid to share who you are. And I think it's also resetting and level setting expectation, because we hear all this stuff in the news, and we do know that it is a reality that there is a pay gap, on average 80 cents on the dollar for women in general, for Black women 64 cents, for Latinas 53 cents on the dollar. So I think it's learning how to negotiate for yourself, how to bring visibility for yourself, how to, you know, be nice, but also financially savvy. You know, these are all the kinds of tips that, you know, young women need to embrace going into the workplace, because it's actually amazing. You know, this is the first time in history we have five generations in the workplace, with Gen Z coming in and traditionalists moving out but retiring later. So how do you create these multi-generational teams as you rise the ranks? And Talia's a perfect example. She's 26 years old, but has incredible wisdom and passion, you know, for someone as seasoned as I am that's 58 years old. And so how do you create the generational connection? And then when you look at women in middle management, and we have a column in Forbes called The Messy Middle, because this is when you gain more responsibility at work and more responsibility at home. It's a lot of advice on work-life balance. You know, we don't believe in the word balance. So how do you do it all, quote unquote? And our advice is you got to do it all your way. And how do you really navigate in that messy middle period? So a lot of our advice is, you know, in that middle management piece to get to leadership. And then when you're at leadership, what's the advice on how to get onto public boards, which is great for experience personally and professionally. How do you ensure that you are really maximizing that seat at the table and bringing your best self there so that you are seen as a leader at the top? And then once you are a leader at the top, it's the advice on how you bring others with you to rise up. So I think that there's different categories of advice based on the different advice for level and advice for life stage.
So Shelley, let me ask you about that, because you have known me for a very long time, and this podcast is obviously called Maternity Live. So when we met, I was entry level, I was single, none of this was on my radar. And obviously now I'm married and I'm pregnant. And
obviously cute. That's something that you've done.
I'm so
as well.
Excited.
It's so great, it right?
I know, it's so like, cute. I'm so excited about this.
You just enter the working world. And I remember like sitting in these lounges and like hearing all these women talk, and they would talk about being moms and like having families and trying to do it all. And like, you know, you never like register, like it's could be you one day, and like you'll be going through this. So I'm going to ask you on behalf of everybody listening to this podcast, it's like you talked about, you know, doing it all, which is definitely a myth, but like, how really do you balance, you know, being a working mom? Like if for you, was that something that ever scared you, or did you always know like going into it, like I can do all of these things, I'm just going to do it my way. And the things that, you know, might have to take a back burner professionally, like will, because I will just, these are the things that I want in my life and I'm going to make them happen.
Yeah. Listen, I am not a normal mom. I think I'm a great mom, but I'm not normal. I don't strive for normal. And I heard something great the other day, which is perfect people aren't real. Real people aren't perfect. My imperfections are my greatest perfections. Like I just don't sweat the small stuff. And I remember when I was, my kids are now 23, 25, and 28 years old. So, you know, I really did raise kids in a day and age where, you know, I really didn't have all this advice surrounding me. But I think that there were a few things that were very important to me. One, my husband and I are not mother, father, we are partners. And so we share the responsibility, and we had certain rules, which was, you know, both of us couldn't travel at the same time. So if, you know, he had to go somewhere, he's a butt doctor, he's a colorectal surgeon. So if he had to be at a medical meeting, then I wouldn't travel. And if I had to travel, he was home. And we shared the responsibility. So we divided and conquered. He had his responsibilities. He was responsible for sports and finance, and I was responsible for education in the home and friends. But when I was out of town, he had to assume those responsibilities, and there was no judgment. You know, he might not have done it the way I would have, but it was good enough. And I couldn't tie my kids' hockey skates tight enough, and I'd watch them wobble their little poor little ankles on the ice, and I would feel so bad as a Jewish mother, but so be it, you know. And so we divided and conquered and really shared the responsibility. And today, looking back, it's one of the best pieces of advice that I can give. If you want to have equality in the workplace, it starts in the home, you know, and sharing that responsibility. The second was I had a no regret policy. I never wanted to look back in life and say shoulda, woulda, coulda. And so if there was something that was important to my kids, and I raised them to, you know, to tell me if something is important to you, just let me know. I won't miss those important moments. And if the answer was I would feel bad missing it, I didn't do it. And I can tell you later in life, no one is going to remember the hour meeting I missed or that one trip I didn't take. But my kids will always be able to tell you that I was present and there when they needed me most. The third was around focus. You know, when I would come home at night at 6 p.m., I would shut my computer. I didn't really have a computer at the time, but phone, or, you know, this is a long time ago. I would shut it off and be present with my kids. And then at 9 o'clock, when I put them to bed, I would go back and do my thing. So it was really around, you know, scheduling and time blocking. I got very good at time block management. And I think, lastly, I didn't follow the textbook, because that was written for non-working parents. I mean, so I had to make my own stuff up. And I remember I had a lot of girlfriends that, you know, were stay-at-home moms, which, God bless them, you know, they would come and say, well, did you do this and did you do that? And I'm like, oh my God, I can't do carpool. And so when, what is it? Necessity is the greatest
mother of invention.
Is the mother of invention. I couldn't do carpools because if a mother would cancel on me and I was out of town, what was I going to do? So I ended up hiring teachers, and it was amazing. They needed the extra money. They were completely reliable. They could come home, help the kids with the homework, you know, pick them up wherever they needed to go. And that got me where I needed to be. And, you know, the last was PTA. I was never good as like a member of PTA. I would say, I'd help the school a lot, but I'd say, just give me my project so I can get it done for you in my way, in my time, I will deliver. And the fifth is, you don't have to bake the cookies. You can buy them and make them nice on a platter and put the, you know, bring them to school. So there's shortcuts that, you know, sometimes we have that guilt to say, oh my God. Listen, it'll work. Or even school things, when the teacher would call to have a school meeting, and I'd say, is it going to be all just, you know, are my kids doing fine and you're going to give me all the good stuff about them? You know, I don't need to be there, because the kids weren't part of that. I said, if there's something we need to discuss, I will be there. So there's a lot of ways that you can, you know, cut out the stuff that's really unnecessary and focus on the things that are very important, especially to your children.
By the way, I think that's some of my favorite advice that I've ever gotten. Number one, yes to buying the cookies. And number two, it's just so smart. I feel like it's not even, it's not revolutionary, but like, yes, not traveling at the same time, being respectful of how, you know, your partner does things. Like, it's just easy, but I also feel like it is so helpful, because I just feel like I had a weight lifted off my shoulder when you said all those things. It's like, I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to be able to do it. And like, I just have to make up my own rules. And I think what you said is really important too, around like the other moms or the other parents, like everybody's so fucking judgy. Like, what is up? Yeah. With like, what's the deal? People are like that in the workplace too. Like, one of the last questions that I have for you guys, and I feel like you, Shelly, especially have probably seen this, but like, sometimes like women are just like not nice to other women in the workplace, or like what most women will say is like, their female boss was like the worst boss they ever had. And is it like, why are we like that?
You know, I really do think it's because there's been such a scarcity of jobs at the top. Women have been competitive with one another, and everyone so judgy. My nickname was Chief Troublemaker in, you know, Fortune 500, because I'd break all the rules and write the new ones. I think that Madeleine Albright said it right. Women that don't support other women deserve a place in hell. We say women that support other women deserve a place in heaven. It is just so incredibly true that we are so much better together. And I think that's what we're all realizing when we let our guards down and embrace this community, that we can all help each other, whether we're competitors or not. We are all, you know, people with some of the same challenges. And there is so much great advice from people who have been there, done that, across, you know, life stages. So, you know, those women, haters are going to hate, and you're going to still have those women that just don't have the confidence in themselves to feel good about who they are and where they are. And those are not the women that will support, you know, other women.
I love it. That is a beautiful place to end, because my hope and my goal in doing this podcast was just to create a judgment-free zone, and for people to know that like everything they think and they feel, they're not alone in that. And that there is people out there, or that there are people out there that can identify with any struggle that they're going through in any life stage, and that there are amazing people like you guys, not only that are creating communities, because you've taken just like one step further, of course, but it's like that you've been through it and that you know that people are like not crazy inside their own head for the things that they're feeling.
So that's why I want to give the biggest plug to everything that you guys are doing. Follow them on Instagram at Female Quotient. Visit their website, thefemalequotient.com. And that's where they have all their virtual talks, everything from advancing women in the corporate world to even mental health and fitness. It really runs the gamut on pretty much just like everything we need at this time. And then of course, when the world goes back to normal, you can find a Female Quotient Lounge at pretty much every event on the planet, everything from South by Southwest to Sundance. If you work in an industry like retail, like technology, like marketing, advertising, media, you name it, there is likely a lounge there. And honestly, I've been to about 40, maybe more lounges at this point, and it's my favorite part of any work trip. What I try to do is get as many meetings as I can in the lounge and just hang out there, get a little blow in my hair, gloss on my lip. I just love being there. I love the way that it makes me feel. And I feel like that's what we need to do with you guys. We need to clone you guys and have you be everywhere because we need more of you in the world.
It's called you, Liv. We love you.
I love you too.
Appreciate you so much. And we are so excited for our little new FQ baby. And now, we're saving you some onesies. One of them says badass on the tush.
Oh, I can't.
And then the other ones.
Wait.
I know we have them all for you. I know.
Oh my God. So cute. I love it. I know. Now you're going to have to, I'm going to start the petition to get like the daycare going in the lounge, you know?
Done. Done, done, and done. We've got
I love
plenty
it.
Of amazing
we have,
people that
we have the best TV area already for you.
Of course you do. See, this is what I'm talking about. You just like, you know what the women need and you give it to them. It's amazing. I love you guys. Thank you for joining me on my podcast.
Well, invite us back. We will come any day, anytime.
You got it.
The answer is always yes for you.
I love you.
Maternity livers, that's a wrap on this week's episode. I hope you are as inspired as I am. Women who support other women go to heaven, baby. And that's where I will leave you. As always, you can email me maternitylivepod@gmail.com. Subscribe anywhere you listen to podcasts. Leave a review. DM me. I will be back next week. As always, sending love. Bye, everyone.